this morning. I guess we will, and if you wasn't here last week and didn't hear it, I'm sorry, I don't have time to recap all of that. But we're going to kind of pick up right where we left off what I was talking about. We're going to change the title this morning. The title this morning, we will just call it Holy Spirit Leading. Now, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit for a little while now. And he better become your very best friend. Because he's going to be the one that's going to lead you and guide you through everything. He's the one that's going to bear witness with you or not bear witness with you, right? Because he only bears witness with the truth, according to the Word of God. So I was talking last week when I left off is, I put one of the TVs back there in the nursery, and I was going to hook that up to the Netflix where I don't have to buy the DVDs or whatever, you know. We can just go on there and pick out the ones that the kids like or whatever. And when I thought about getting the TV and was praying about getting the TV, I felt good. I felt, okay about that or whatever. But then the longer time went on that I was thinking about, the Holy Spirit, if you've been born, he's inside of you. The Bible says the Spirit within. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, he has many names in the Bible, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, a lot of different names that he goes by. But when you get born again, he's on the inside of you. So therefore, you just have a thought and he knows it, right? Because he's in there. So the more that I was thinking about doing this, and I was going to have Travis and Beth hook me up. That's what I had kids for. Hook me up back there with... y'all didn't get that, but anyway. I don't do that stuff. This younger generation a lot of times pride themselves on the knowledge and the technology. Well, I'm glad you do, because I'm going to wear you out. My generation, we don't do that. That stuff was just coming up. But anyway, so Travis, I'm going to get Travis and Beth to help me get things hooked up. And, because them TVs nowadays, I mean, it's an act of Congress for somebody like me to get all that stuff hooked up and ready and all that. But then they was going out of town. So it gave me a little bit longer to pray about, think on, and all that, what exactly I'm wanting to do back there. Because, knows, it would save me money just to hook up the Netflix. Use my Netflix account. I don't got to buy the DVDs. We could watch a different one, because you have four or five different kids in there. Four or five different kids could like four or five different things or whatever. But anyway, so time goes on. And the more I think on what I'm doing, meditating on, I start feeling a little dark. What I mean by dark is absence of light. How many knows the Bible says God is light? And he knows the Holy Spirit, he's God. You got God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, right? They're all three one. So the more that I think on this and meditate on this about what I'm wanting to do back there and all that, I started feeling a little dark, like an absence of light. So the longer time went on, I'm like, I'm sensing this, and I'm not really getting necessarily a direction, but I know what I'm sensing. How many knows you got spiritual senses? Just like you got physical senses, you got eyes, you got ears, you got taste, you got smell. You have spiritual senses on the inside also. Your spirit senses things. It gets impressions. It hears words, right? So anyway, I'm feeling a little bit dark. So the longer I pray about this and I think about this, I get kind of fed up. And I'm like, what is it? Am I not supposed to hook this TV up to the Netflix, or am I just not supposed to put a TV back there at all? Now, we had a TV before. And then I begin to distinguish between hooking up a TV and the Netflix. And what I would think about the TV and meditate on the TV, I felt good. When I say feel, I'm talking about right here. How many knows this is where your spirit is? He's not up here. And I am a spirit. I'm not a mind. You are a spirit. But anyway, and when I would think about just the hooking up the TV part, I would feel good. But then when I would think about hooking up the Netflix part, I would feel dark, and I'm like, there it is. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You better learn to do this every day with everything. See, we like to quote that scripture over there in Jeremiah 29:11, don't we? Probably everybody in here that can quote it, right? God has good plans for us. Plans to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope, right? But it don't matter where we go to church. Woo! Glory to God! Y'all not saying nothing. What scripture is that? First Imaginations? Because I don't find a scripture for that it does not matter where I go to church as long as I go. If y'all have one, if y'all have two of them, please let me know right now, because I can't find it. So if God has a plan for my life before I was ever put here in the earth, right? Ain't that what the Bible says? I came out of God here into the earth, and He has a plan and a purpose for my life, for your life, whether you're born again or whether you're not. That plan started before you ever got here in your mother's womb. So what's that mean? It's my job to find it. It's my job to seek Him. Sad to say, there's some people, even born again people, they live an entire lifetime and die and never even found the plan and purpose of God. That's sad. But it's happening everywhere, all over the place. So if He has a plan for my life, then it matters where I go to church, don't it? According to Scripture, it matters what I wear. Y'all come on. Didn't He say women wear modest apparel? Then it matters what I wear, don't it? So you're telling me it matters what I wear, but it don't matter where I go to church. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's not so. My sister one time, she was talking to me. She was going to church, to a certain church, and their church changed pastors, and this had been years ago. And they changed pastors or whatever, and her and my brother-in-law, they was tithing. And one morning they had give their tithe, and the pastor and his wife came to them and gave them some of their tithe back and told them, said, because they didn't have a lot of money or anything or things or stuff like that, you know. The pastor and his wife came to them and gave part of their tithe money back and told them, look, said, you don't have to tithe the whole thing. We don't either, you know, and we understand. You know, when they're talking, I told them, get out of that church. Why would I tell them that? Because according to Scripture, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And so you're going to change the Word of God of the thing that is holy? What else are you doing? What else are you teaching me that is not right? So it matters where I go to church. God has a plan. It wouldn't be good for me and Scotty to live in Florida. It matters where I live. Why? We can't pastor this church unless we got a jet, Johnny. And we're not there yet. Why? I can't fly commercially up here. I mean, half the time you can't even get a flight whenever you want one or need one, right? I mean, we just went through that. All them people not getting paid, so they're not going to work. That's what is that called? The aviation thing. So it matters where I live. It matters what I drive. Everything in your entire life matters to God. Because He has a plan and He has a purpose, and it's His will that we are to find and to do and carry out here in the earth. And everything that we find that is His will and we endeavor to obey Him and go after that, He will part the Red Sea if He needs to. He'll have birds fly over and feed you. Come on now! So when you're in the will of God, doing His will, He'll do whatever He has to that you can't do yourself to open those doors, right? He opens doors that no man can shut, and He shuts doors that no man can open. But when you're not in that plan, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Why? You're doing everything yourself. Boy, you could hear a pin drop. I don't know about you. Well, I do. I believe I do. I don't want that. I won't ride in the middle of God's will. Does that mean I won't have trouble? Absolutely not. A lot of times trouble will come because you're in His will. The Bible talks about in Mark 4 how persecution comes for the Word's sake. So a lot of times when you're in the plan of God, it draws trouble to you. But thank God when you're in His plan and in His will, He's with you. He said He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you forever. Right? Always, even unto the end. So thank God when you're in His will and in His plan, He's right there with you. His Holy Spirit is right there helping you, leading you, guiding you, holding you, upholding you with the right hand of His righteousness, right? But it's when you're out of it. You can die out of it prematurely. And there's a bunch of nonsense of people dying prematurely, and people said, I just don't understand why God took them. Shut that up! I'm telling you, that makes me so angry when people say that about my sister and my brother-in-law. My God did not take them. My God received them. just like my brother-in-law. I was told that far as go, he had a wreck up there in Abreville, Boaz, whatever it was. He didn't want to go. And somebody kept on at him until he finally went. Don't ever override what you have in here. Ever. You could die. You could cause somebody else to be killed. You better hear what I'm telling you. See, we got things happening all in the earth. And the Bible says people say God is sovereign. Everything that happens, happens for a reason. Yeah, sometimes it's because you're stupid. Been there, done that. Everything that's happening in the earth is not God's will, and it's not God's doing it. This is not going how I thought it was. But it's good anyway. We need to know this stuff. But the title is Holy Spirit Leading. You got a bunch of people running around saying, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, and there ain't a bit of scripture for it. And sad to say, you've got new converts, new believers, that they follow that junk. It's sad. But anyway, my brother-in-law, I don't know if it was a lady or he just didn't feel like it or what. He didn't want to go up there. But somebody kept talking to him and talked him into it, and he went, and they had a wreck, and bam, he's with the Lord. How do I know? Because he was born again. So you can't say God took him. Maybe it was God trying to tell him, don't go. Don't go. Y'all remember the story about the young prophet? I can't think of now where it is exactly. But the young prophet, God tells him to go over somewhere and do something other. And he said, don't stay. He said, go back. Y'all remember that? Then this older prophet, and the Bible says he was a prophet. I don't know why he did it. But he goes and he hears about it and he runs to the young prophet and he keeps on and on and on until to come to his house and spend the night with him until the younger prophet does. And when he does, when he starts back on the way home, he gets killed by a lion. Y'all remember that story? You should have stuck with what you had in your heart the first to start with. Don't let people lead you and guide you. That's the Holy Spirit. I don't even look to be led and guided by myself. I have done that, and it has been trouble for me every single time. Now, let's look here to, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Beth will put it up on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, to give a little bit of backstory before we read some of these scriptures, there is what Paul calls false apostles. They're running around. We got them today. False prophets, false apostles. Y'all not saying nothing. Let me tell you something. I tell my grandkids, not because I want them to fear, because I don't. But I try to explain to my grandkids, every person is not good, baby. Why? Most little kids, they're trusting. You are adults. They're supposed to be able to trust you, but you can't trust all adults. And I tried to tell them, all people are not good, baby. Don't follow everybody. Don't go with everybody. I'm telling you, as God's children, don't follow everybody. Don't go with everybody. Don't listen to every voice. There's many voices out there, and all of them is not God. And that's what he's dealing with here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's false apostles and false prophets. They're doing false teaching and different things like that. These here, from best I can tell, they're doing it for gain of finances. So he tells them here that it's right for me to take finances from you, to receive finances from you, but because of what's going on right now, I'm not going to. To prove to you that I love you and I'm not in this for the money. Or what I can gain. I'm in it for your benefit. This is where the verses he told them seems to me like the more that I love you, the less you love me. So we're going to pick it up here for time's sake in verse 12. No, that's not right. I'm sorry. I'm in 1 Corinthians. I meant 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. in the Amplified. He says, but what I do, I will continue to do, for I am determined to maintain this independence. Notice what he says, in order to cut off the claim of those who would like to find an occasion, an incentive to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms that we do, because they don't. He says, for such men are false apostles, spurious, counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles, special messengers of Christ, the Messiah. And it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it is not surprising if his servants also masquerade as ministers of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds. Now notice what he says there. The Bible says, if you put this one up, Beth, we won't turn over there to it. King James Version, 1 John 1, 1:5 through 7. I'll read it from the screen. Is that it? No, there it is. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, right? And declare unto you God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, none. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, talking about you and him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But notice that there, it says God is light. This here, he was talking about the light. And it says that even Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of the light. And so do his messengers. Let me tell you something, because a lot of people get off here. God uses visions. They're all through the Bible, beginning to end. Especially, boy, you get over to the book of Acts. God uses dreams. God uses visions. God uses angels, right? Different kinds of things to speak to us, to warn us, to tell us of things, things to come, and His Holy Spirit and all of that. But let me say this to you. When you have some of these, examine them by the Word of God. See, I've heard of stories of people, you know, somebody start telling them, I had an angel visit me, or Jesus himself came to, they'll be like, what did he look like? That don't matter. Did you hear what I said? Doesn't matter what Jesus looked like. Doesn't matter what the angel, what did they say? Because the Holy Spirit is the inspiration for the writing of this word. Right? We'll go over some scripture in a minute for what I'm telling you. He will never speak anything, not an angel that's truly sent from God, not a dream you have, not a vision that you have, will ever contradict or go against half of one verse in this Bible. Now remember, I'm talking about Holy Spirit leading. Why? We want to be led by Him. We want to know when He's leading us and when He's not. See, the biggest thing in the last days, according to Scripture, will be deception. And if we know Him and follow Him and fellowship with Him and know this Word and look at everything in light of this Word and the Holy, we will never be deceived. Right? So I don't care, vision, dream, angel, whatever that it, Holy Spirit Himself, you believe that it is? Check everything that is said by this written word. Why? This word never changes. Jesus Himself, He said, Father, sanctify them through Thy word, for Thy word is truth. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, He said, howbeit, when He, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, right? He will lead you and guide you into all truth. Jesus said of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we have three witnesses there together, right there, right? The Word, Jesus Himself, and the Holy Spirit. If we examine everything that... Because see, there's people out there that because they had a dream or a vision or an angel experience, or even Jesus Himself coming and sitting down in their room and talking to them or what, they believe that over the Word. Because they had an experience. It's real. I am not denying that it's not real. Did you hear what this? Satan himself masquerades as an angel of the light. So you get that telling me? He does it to people. Right? But God does too. So we have to discern what is the truth, what is God, what is the devil, what is maybe I ate too much tacos for and went to bed. I don't know. But I do know it'll never contradict this word. So I don't care what experience that we have that we believe is God, we must line it up with the Holy Spirit and this word. Right? And I'm not talking about one scripture out of context. The Bible says by two or three witnesses let every word be established. So at least two different writers that is saying the same thing of the Bible. Right? Because we don't all want to be deceived. But if it's really the Lord, if it's really the Holy Spirit, we want to make sure we do it. We obey it. Whatever it is, we believe it and we receive it. Amen? Because God does speak that way. Now, put up 1 John 4:8 in the King James, please, Beth. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? He's love. So if God is love, Jesus is love, the Holy Spirit is love. Y'all too quiet. Does that say God's love or what does that say? So anytime the Holy Spirit is leading me, he will not lead me outside the perimeters of the love of God. Right? The Bible says in Proverbs, love does what? Covers. Come on now. If the Holy Spirit is giving me something about somebody or leading me to do something or something like that, I will never uncover somebody. What do I mean by that? Tell their faults to somebody else. Because, see, you're going to get things in the Spirit. I remember I did not know any of these things. I hadn't been saved but a few years, and I was praying one morning, and I had a brother-in-law that's not my brother-in-law now. Not my sister's husband. Anyway, I'm praying one morning, and all of a sudden, I just have this knowing. I didn't hear a voice. I just had this knowing that I knew that I knew that I knew my brother-in-law was not tithing. Now, I don't know anything about word of wisdom and different stuff like this. That's what it is. I mean, word of knowledge, it's just a word. I told Scotty, I said, God told me this morning, I believe the Lord told me this morning, so-and-so is not tithing. Now, he's as far as I went with that because, I mean, I don't know all this stuff or anything. And so what I done, I just started praying for him. Did you hear what I said? I did not uncover him. I did not go tell nobody in my church. I did not go tell my pastor or the treasurer. Why? Love doesn't uncover. God is wanting me to pray for him. Why? Because God loves him and God wants to bless him. And according to Scripture, the tithe is holy unto the Lord, right? So I start praying for him. That's all I done. Just prayed for him about that. Prayed for him about that. About 2 weeks later, he comes to the house, and him and Scotty's outside. They're talking, you know, and everything. And he begins to tell Scotty how he had not been tithing, but that now he's tithing. See, the Holy Spirit will tell you if he can. If you're going to go blab everything he tells you, he'll quit telling you stuff. If I tell you something, there's some things I should not even have to tell you. Don't tell nobody. Come on now. I mean, seriously. And if I ever do tell you something, and 10 more people in the church knows it, I'll never tell. I don't care if you're my husband or not. There's certain things I don't even tell him anymore. Because Travis knows all my business. And if I wanted, hey, if I wanted Travis to know my business, I'd tell Travis. Too much of this stuff going on in the church, so the Holy Spirit stops telling us things. And then he can't do what he needs to get done. Why? Because God doesn't just wham, do everything in the earth. The Bible says we work with him. He works with us. And there's sometimes people need some extra help. And sometimes things, God's wanting to do things, but he needs us to pray. He needs us to ask. He needs us to believe. But if you're going to blab everything you get, he'll stop telling you. And the thing about that is when you uncover somebody else, you're actually uncovering yourself. And I don't know about y'all, but I have plenty of faults and I don't want everybody knowing them. And some of y'all didn't say amen that you should have, because you got them too. We all got them somewhere. Ain't nobody in this room listening by way of internet arrived to the full standard of the Lord Jesus Christ yet in every area. But we're on our way. He's helping us. Now, so it says there God is love. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read this. I think I want this. Yeah, Amplified. I'm going to start reading in verse 22. Now, the verses up above it tell you the works of the flesh. But 22 here, excuse me, he says, notice this, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let me stop here a second. What's his name? He just gave you an indication of what he does, how he operates. He will never lead you into anything that is unholy. Do you hear what I said? That's why his name is the Holy Spirit. There's all kinds of spirits out here, but there's only one Holy Spirit. And he will never lead us into ungodliness or unholiness. Don't you come up here telling me how your husband or your wife, you're being led to divorce your husband or wife and marry. No, you're not! The Bible says in Malachi, God hates divorce. Listen, and I have divorced people in here. I'm not talking about that. How many? I don't care if you've been married and divorced 15 times. The buck should stop here. If you're a Christian now, it should stop here. I can't tell you, Johnny, how many times I might be married and divorced had I not listened to the Lord and turned to Him from help. Because He's y'all's pastor and y'all love Him, but I'm telling you, at home, I don't have the anointed pastor. You understand? That's for you. And me, because he's my pastor. At home, he's Scotty the man. And his socks stink. Y'all not saying nothing. At home, I'm not the anointed Sunday school teacher. Y'all see me with, imagine me without. So I'm just telling you, 40 plus years of marriage, I could have been married and divorced, I can't tell you how many times, and to how many different people. But when I begin to learn this, and I come across that scripture in Malachi, that it said God hates divorce. The first time we had a real loud discussion, it's what we Christians like to call it, with things flying. And I had come across that verse that says God hates divorce. We had a blazer at the time. I went and was going to Faith Restoration. I went out there. I couldn't stand to look at him, Johnny. I mean, I want to take his head off in pieces. I go out there, I get in my blazer, and I drive all the way from nearly Oneonta up there to Faith Restoration. They're not having church, and I sit in the parking lot, and I cry, and I say, Lord, help me. Because, see, everything in me wants to divorce him. I'm tired of this. I can't take this no more. I'm not that little 15-year-old kid that I used to be anymore. I am a grown woman now. And I don't got to put up with this. Y'all not saying nothing. And I sat there and I pray and I pray and I cry because I love him, but I doggone can't live with him. At times, feels like. And I love God. And I know it's not God's will for me to divorce him, Johnny. So I have to stay there till I pray through, till my mind and my emotions calm down and my will begins to line up with God's will and I begin to love what God loves. You hear what? Don't ever make a lasting decision based on a fleeting feeling. Your feelings are fleeting. They can be up one minute, down the next, borderline, up, down, right? And then you go and you make a lifelong decision based on that, and 30 minutes later your feelings are different? I'm not supposed to be led by my feelings. I'm not supposed to be led by my mind. I'm not supposed to be led by my own will. So anyway, I stay there until my mind calms down, my emotions calm down, and I get my will lined up with God's will. Then I turn my little brown blazer around, and I head right back to Blount County and go right back in the house. I can't tell you how many times I've had to do that in over 30 years to stay married to the same man. Oh, my. And see, the Bible talks about, Jesus, they wanted to know, you know, could they get a divorce or whatever, and said, well, Moses gave us a right we could divorce our husband or our wife for adultery. You better read the rest of that. Jesus himself went on and he said, he gave you that bill of divorcement because of the hardness of your heart. See, I have lived that life unsaved. I've been through all of that numerous times as a lost person. Scotty, as a lost person and still stay together. You're telling me God can't help you when we are supposed to have the love of God and the forgiveness of Christ in us that we can't do it? Now, I didn't say you couldn't divorce them. Jesus said you could. That's kind of like Ron Carpenter. Have y'all heard his and his wife's story? No? Yeah? She had an affair. And when you're him, the world knows it. And he's going to divorce her. And he believes he has a right, according to the scripture. But as he's about to, here comes the Holy Ghost. Oh, and begins to deal with him and took him to that verse and began to tell him, you can, but I'd rather you didn't. So she, to make a long story short, she goes to counseling. They start off kind of like dating a little bit again. Why? Because trust has been broken, and you don't just jump right back into that. That's not what I'm saying or talking about. You understand what I'm telling you? But I mean, we got a lot of Christians nowadays, they'll divorce you because you left the seat up to the toilet and the lid off the toothpaste. And we're supposed to be different. Right? Boy, this is going over good. Hallelujah. Anyway, we're talking about his leading. So sure enough, to make the long story short, they are together today. Still doing the will of God just like God called them to. See, just because you're Christians don't mean you don't ever have hardship. Don't mean you won't ever make a mistake. Don't mean you won't ever even outright sin. But how many knows if you humble yourself and you're willing, there's forgiveness, there's restoration. God can do it. So he doesn't lead me contrary to being holy. Anything that is unholy, right? According to Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within you accomplishes, what's the first one? Love. He's not talking about natural love. We're talking about the love of God. The love that loves you while you ugly. The love that loves you while you nasty. Y'all not saying nothing. Let me just talk about me. That love that loves you when you're not causing me to feel warm and fuzzy. That love that will love you all the way to death. Right? Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. We hadn't done anything good for him yet. Not a person on the planet. But the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him over there in Hebrews, right? He looked down the road and he saw me and you reconciled to God by faith, right? He never did anything out apart from faith, because faith is what pleases God. And he said, I always do those things that are pleasing to the Father. So by faith, he looked down the road and he saw me and you and everybody else. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him is why he endured the cross. Because he loved God and he loved people, and he was going to do the will of God. So the first fruit that the Holy Spirit is going to produce in you is what? The love of God. See, today, even Christians have, a lot of Christians have a warped up sense of what love is. Love is not the way you make me feel, baby. A lot of people get married because how you make me feel. Who's that about? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 tells me love's not selfishness. Love doesn't think about self, right? Oh, boy, here we go. See, if you are not ready to make somebody happy and their life better and easier for the rest of your entire life, you ain't ready to get married. Come on now. I'm talking to the church, right? But see, a lot of people get married because how you make me feel. Oh, you make me feel so good. I just feel like chocolate pudding when you're around, Scotty. Well, guess what, Johnny? One day he's not going to make me feel like chocolate pudding. He's going to make me feel like a hacksaw. So what about when I feel like that on that day? He's talking about the love of God, and that is the first fruit that he places within us. Put up there on the screen right quick, Beth, just so they can see it. Romans 5:5. He says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost." Don't you think he knows and remembers he put that in there when you got saved? So you really think he's going to lead you and guide you to do something contrary to what the Bible, not people, the Bible calls love? Absolutely not. So if you have a leading, a prompting, a vision, a dream of anything outside of love, bam, it's gone right now. You don't even have to question it. You don't even got to look for a scripture on it, right? If it's contrary to the love of God, then it's not him. Right? We're talking about Holy Spirit leading. Let's look on here. Oh, boy. Sorry, Beth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, some people don't know. And congratulations to all of y'all that have been reading your chapters with the papers back there. You have now completely read the whole New Testament and have started over again. Praise God. You can say more than a lot of Christians can say. Been saved 20 years, never read the whole New Testament. And how many knows this is what we gauge our leading by? We need to know it, don't we? So that means we need to read it. And the Holy Spirit, part of his job is to bring it back to our remembrance. All righty, here we go. We got to get this straightened out about love. Love really is, the love he's talking about. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. Let's pick this up in verse 4. It says love, we could say God's love in me, right? It's his love he puts in us. Holy Ghost shed it abroad in our hearts. Love, God's love in me does what? It endures long. See, don't even start that. This is my prophetic gift, so let's move it right along. Y'all not saying nothing. Ain't no prophetic gift trying to get you to move it right along. Let's hurry up. Why? He endures long. Don't even start that. Well, I've got to be at church in 15 minutes, little teller. Hurry up. I thought love was leading you. Right? See what I'm talking about? We can make all kinds of excuses. It says love endures long and it's patient. Thank God he's so patient with us. And kind. This is a big one. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. The Holy Spirit will never be leading you and telling you something or whatever that causes you to look down on somebody else. Never. You hear what I'm telling you? So anytime you have a sense of that or you feel that or anything, you can cast that right out. That's not him. It's more than likely the devil or your own flesh. He goes on here. And he says, does not display itself haughtily. It's not high-minded, right? It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights. That is a major. I've heard this before. Marriage is 50-50. That is a doggone lie. Where in this chapter right here did you get marriage is 50-50? Well, you know, she does her 50%, and I do my 50%, and it makes a whole. No. The Bible, God requires 100% out of you of what he's saying right here. God requires 100% of Scotty out of what he's saying right here, right? And if I won't do mine, he can't make me. Well, I'll tell you right now, the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife. Yeah, well, get your head on because I'm not listening today. What you going to do about that? The Bible says, I don't care what the Bible says. Do you come at me with that right there? And that's probably what you're going to get. Because number one, you done already wrong. You already in the wrong spirit. He did not say I'm your child, and he did not say you're my boss. Hello? He said you the head. Now, if we really want to get right down technical to that, you guys, I feel for you. You talk about major responsibility that you have. You are the provider under the Lord. Hello? Not this I'm out there pumping gas while you sitting in there gaming in my car that I'm making the payments on. Come on! You got these little girls running around here with these guys with their britches sagging down, out there pumping gas, changing tires while they in there playing the game on the car that the girl's paying for. That's a bunch of nonsense. I tell you right now, if something was to happen to my husband, if I ever did want to get married again, he'd have to be something else. He'd have to be walking Jesus in the flesh nearly. And a bunch of money. Don't you come over here and think I'm going to take care of you. That is not the Bible. Is it or not? Am I making this stuff up? Don't to say the man is supposed to provide? He's the head. So head get to providing. You young guys, you better hear what I'm telling you. You get you a girl like that, she ain't going to be the one you want. Because now she's going to tell you what you're going to do. You're not going to live in my house that I'm making payments on, driving my car, and think you're going to be up there at the bros. I don't think so, buddy. You better have my supper done when I get home. Do you see how all this is opposite? So then it's chaos. It's out of order. It's wrong. And you think you're really going to have a good godly relationship like that? You're full of it. It's just not going to. Things work best when it's God's way. I don't care what it is. So if you are the head, you're supposed to be the provider. I'm telling you, we got a bunch of lazy men. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about listen, I'm talking people all over the world. Bunch of lazy, L-A-Z-Y, capital, in case you can't spell. Men that want to boss somebody around and be ahead and ain't fasted and ain't prayed and ain't went to work and ain't sought God but going to tell me what to do. I don't think so. That is the job of the man. Seek God. Don't tell your family what to do. Lead your family. By that means you go, you do. Lead your family to church. Not y'all go to church and I'm going to watch the ball game. Woo! Ball games, I'm telling you right now. Golly, well, let's get on with this. I don't know what y'all want that for. Help us, Jesus. And it was not a, I was going to say that's not my message, but I guess it's in his and I'm just worked here. It says, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. This is selfishness. You may even have a right to something, but you're not supposed to seek that. You yield, right? Bible says somebody slap you on the cheek, do what? Well, I got a right. I'm going to punch you in your big fat nose now. You should have not. Is that what the Bible says? That's the first thing my flesh wants to do. But if I'm going to be led of the Spirit, and don't tell me he told you to because he did not. You hear people say that. Well, I tell you right now, the Lord told me to tell them off. No, he did not. And the thing about it is, when you do that, everybody standing around you, it hurts your witness. And they know. I'm talking lost people. You go ask lost people out here, you think a Christian should go to church? I guarantee you, 9.5 out of 10 will tell you Christians are supposed to go to church and they're lost. You go ask 10 Christians, 1.7 will tell you, I don't believe you have to be go to church to be a good Christian. I don't know what we own all that for. But anyway, no, he didn't tell you punch nobody in the nose. And no, he didn't tell you lay hands on them. You hear what I said? I quit doing Facebook. There's a bunch of mess on there. I don't got time for people's opinions and what they're doing and what the Lord said to them. I'm not on what the Lord said to you. I'm trying to stay on what he's saying to me. So I ain't even doing that. So if you send me something, I don't respond. It's not I'm upset. I don't see it. But anyway, get on there, you know, and there'll be these Christians on there, and they'll put on there, you know, well, I'm half Christian, but I'm still half hood, so I suggest you don't mess with me, and I'm from the South Side. What kind of bunch of mess is that? And you're full of the Holy Ghost? Not today. Oh, Jesus, help us. All right, I got to finish reading this because we're going to have to stop. I ain't even got to the first things on my paper. Oh, my goodness. It does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It doesn't hold a grudge. While I'm claiming Mark 11:23-24, don't forget 25. Anybody, can you quote 25? I see it, Johnny. He says, when you stand praying. Now, wasn't you just praying on 24? Wasn't you decreeing and declaring whatever you desired in your little heart? You believe you have it and you will, right? He says, so when you stand praying, while you stand there doing your Mark 11:23-24, he says, you better forgive. Why? Because he forgives you and you ain't perfect. Let's go on here. Almost done. He says, keeps no account of the wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. God is love, right? You can't overcome God. That's why love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Stop thinking bad thoughts toward people. He goes on here, that's not the Holy Spirit leading you. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and it endures everything without weakening. He goes on and he says, love never fails. Why? God is love and God cannot fail. Ever. When we walk in the love of God, we're yielding to God. We're walking in the Spirit. See, there's some people believe you're walking in the Spirit and you're not. You're walking in the flesh. But when you're walking in the true love of God, you're walking in the Spirit, right? We got to stop because my time is up. Does anybody have anything?